sharing the culture and bounty of the Klamath River is at the heart of the Yurok tribe's annual salmon festival. Imagine bright orange slabs of fresh fish skewered on redwood sticks and cooked slowly over coals, then served up to all comers free of charge. The tribe has done this every year for a long time, but this year, for the first time in its 54-year history, no salmon will be served at the Salmon Festival. Yurok tribal officials say that in light of a dismal fish run, it just wouldn't be responsible. This news comes just 6 months after a relatively hopeful moment for the Klamath River, when a litany of groups and government agencies finally agreed to remove 4 dams by 2020. Joining us now is Yurok Tribe Senior Attorney Amy Cordalis. Amy is a tribal member and has fished the Klamath River her whole life. Amy, welcome to The Exchange. Are you with us?
I am. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Also with us is Yurok Fisheries biologist Dave Hillemeyer. Dave, welcome to The Exchange.
Good morning.
So, Dave, I want to start by asking you, we've been told that 91% of juvenile Klamath salmon were infected with gut rot in the last couple of years. How did you come to that number, 91%? They are very small fish, after all.
Right. Well, and we don't call it gut rot. We call it a parasite that's known as Ceratonova shasta.
Uh-huh.
And in 2015, over 90% of the juveniles on a weekly average were infected with Ceratonova shasta. And in 2014, over 80% of the juvenile Chinook were infected. And we know that from some lab experiments that have been conducted that most of the fish that become infected do perish and don't successfully make it out to the ocean.
And so you're confident in this methodology, and have you seen these numbers play out in the adult fish that are returning this season in 2016?
Well, I think what we're seeing this year, at least in the age 3 component of the run that is coming back this year, are the fish that were infected in 2014. And so, yeah, we are, the dismal returns that we are seeing this year are in part related to the high disease rates that we saw in the juvenile fish 3 years earlier.
And Amy Cordalis, senior attorney for the Yurok tribe, this annual festival usually draws thousands of people. I've been myself. What kinds of numbers are we talking about in terms of fish that would normally be used to serve these people lunch?
Well, normally the tribe receives an allocation of fish that we use for our subsistence purposes, for our ceremonial purposes, and for our commercial purposes. And usually we get a decent allocation to where we can provide and meet the needs of all those three purposes. And this year, because the run is so small, we've received our second lowest allocation in the history of us getting an allocation. And we believe, for all kinds of reasons, that our harvest and our use of our salmon needs to be sustainable. And because providing salmon at the Salmon Festival and also our commercial fishery couldn't be harvested in a sustainable way, we're not having either of those events there. So we won't be serving salmon. But normally at the Salmon Festival, we have about 4,000 people. And so I bet that comes out to about 500 salmon that are usually served at the Salmon Festival.
And you talked about your allocation for subsistence and ceremonial purposes. Is this coming from the recommendations by the Pacific Fisheries Management Council, or who makes these allegations?
Yeah, okay. And it's a group that the tribe participates in, and yes, they the Pacific Management Council contributes to that.
All right. So, Dave, I want to go back. I used the term gut rot disease earlier, and I could almost feel you flinch through the phone line here. Can you tell us more about Ceratonova shasta, which I guess you said you don't call gut rot, but it sounds like that's about what it does to the fish. Could you tell us what it does to the fish?
Well, what the Ceratonova shasta is, it's a very small parasite that part of its life history is that it infects a little worm that lives in the Klamath River, the mainstem Klamath River. and then it, those worms release, it multiplies inside the worm, and the worms release this little parasite that infects the fish. It ultimately does result in gut rot that kills the fish, but it's a several-month process that has a pretty extensive life history. And it's our opinion that conditions in the Klamath River, especially during 2014 and 2015, allowed for these worms that are this critical part of the life history of the parasite to become very prolific in the Klamath River. And what we really need is some sediment routing through the system, as well as high flows to minimize the occurrence of these polychaete worms. And so we think that the solution to help remedy that is higher flows, for one, especially during the winter months, to flush out the substrate and to make life somewhat miserable for these little worms. And also getting the dams out is currently planned for 2020, and allowing sediments to route through the system once again, I think, are going to go a long ways to help reduce the disease problems we have.
So you're saying the conditions that C. shasta flourishes are especially prime right now, low flows and not enough sediment routing through the river. We did get, it seems like, more rain, a wetter summer than, say, last summer, when you're saying that 90% of the juvenile Chinook likely perished from this parasite. Could you tell us, what does it look like on the river this year compared to, say, last year?
Well, reports from the people that have been out on the river are that actually conditions are quite a bit better than they were in 2014 and 2015. And preliminary results from some of the work that has been done indicates that the infection rates, especially during the time period when most of the natural salmon are in the river, were substantially lower this year, thanks to the rains. And we actually did have a really good flow event in March of this spring that changed the amount of polychaetes, the little worms that are inhabiting the riverbed, substantially.
And Dave, is there any evidence to suggest that there are cyclical outbreaks of the parasite, and that this is one of them?
Well, I don't know that there's evidence to suggest that. We've only really been closely looking at the Cerata Nova Shasta in the river for about the last 10 to 12 years, but it definitely makes sense that they probably, the polychaetes in particular, do better during times of drought, during times of low flow, and but especially when you don't have sediment routing through the system, because it's all being trapped behind a dam, of course, that compounds things substantially.
If you're just joining us, our guests are Dave Hillemeyer, a fisheries biologist with the Yurok Tribe, and Amy Cordalis, a senior attorney for the tribe. We're talking about river conditions and what they mean for this weekend's Salmon Festival, as well as the lives and livelihood of people living on the lower river. You are welcome to join the discussion, 800-838-3760 for your questions or comments, or jx@jeffnet.org. Amy, you mentioned that this was the second lowest allocation for subsistence and ceremonial use of fish on the for the Yurok Tribe in its history of getting such an allocation from the Pacific Fisheries Management Council's recommendations. What about the commercial fishery and the overall livelihood, I guess, of the Yurok people who depend on these fish?
It's in a dire condition. The Yurok Tribe has canceled its 2016 commercial fishery for tribal members, and this is a huge economic hardship on our people. You know, unfortunately, there's not a lot of economic opportunities for our tribal members on our reservation and the surrounding areas, and so the commercial fishery serves as a real source of meaningful income for a lot of our, you know, poorest tribal members. And what it means is, you know, our little kids won't have school clothes, or, you know, they won't be able to fix the car that's needed fixing for, you know, all year. So it's really a hard economic hardship for us. But in addition to that, from a cultural perspective, and this is perhaps the most important thing, is it's just flat out sad. We are a people who, since time immemorial, have fished the Klamath River, and we've fished the same fish for all of that time. And we have a very strong relationship with them that we feel very deeply in our hearts. And so when we know that the fish are in such a bad condition, that there's this is an important point. There's literally not enough fish in our allocation this year, which is just under 6,000, for every one of our tribal members to have one fish. So every one of our tribal members can't even have one fish this year. And for a people who, since time immemorial, have relied on those fish and who have, you know, every season gone down to the river, harvested their fish, had their community times, been at their fish camp, been together on that river harvesting salmon, you know, filled their freezers with salmon and lived off that salmon throughout the rest of the year, it is devastating for us to not be able to go down to the river and catch our fish. And, you know, Dave, well, let me step back. So the tribe has officially declared a commercial fisheries disaster on the river, and we've been working with federal officials to try to get some federal fisheries disaster funding to assist our tribal members. And these are similar processes that other commercial fishermen or crab fishermen go through in order to help ease that economic burden. And so we're really hopeful that will come through for our tribal members as well.
When did that declaration come out?
The tribe made that declaration a couple months ago.
Okay. And canceled the entire 2016 commercial fishery for tribal members. How striking. The subsistence allotment for the tribe, 6,000 fish, as you point out.
Well, it's just under 6,000 fish.
Just under 6,000, so that is barely enough for each tribal member to have one fish. They are big fish, but not that big.
Yeah, and it's not even enough. I think our tribal membership is at 6,100 now, so... Yeah, it's very sad. So,
and Amy, you fish the river. You've been there your whole life. Does this feel very different for you? I mean, obviously, issues with water quality and the water politics of the Klamath are very longstanding. Does this crisis feel different to you?
It does. And for me, this is really the canary of the Klamath River calling out, saying, help me. It's saying, I can't continue to thrive. I can't continue to provide for all of us. It's not just Yurok people. Provide for everyone in this area without help. And it shows that we are on the brink of another environmental crisis. You know, in 2002, we had the largest fish kill in American history. And the only reason since 2002 to 2016 that we haven't had repeat events is because the tribe has been diligent about creating partnerships with other federal water management entities, state as well, from local, to make sure that we have water in the river to support those fish. So really, from my perspective, and you know, Dave mentioned that we're at a decent, we're okay this year, but the overall system is not okay. We're on the brink of extinction, really, here. And so unless we dramatically change the way we manage the river, we're going to head down that path. And I don't think in our generation we want to see the salmon in the Klamath River and other species go extinct. That would be a tragedy. So I think it's really the canary's call to fix this river and to change the way we manage the river.
If you're just joining us, our guests are Amy Cordalis, senior attorney for the Yurok Tribe of Northern California, the largest Native American tribe federally recognized in California. Dave Hillemeyer is also with us. He's a fisheries biologist for the tribe. The sort of starting point for today's discussion was the decision not to serve salmon at the tribe's annual salmon festival coming up this weekend. It is a free event open to the public in Klamath. Dave, we started out discussing this parasite that you estimate has killed 90% of juvenile Chinook salmon over the last season, 2015. This parasite flourishes in warm water and low flow conditions. What is causing the conditions that allow the parasite to flourish?
Well, a lot of probably the most important thing in regards to river management is the lack of high winter flows is probably a major contributing factor. which, as I mentioned earlier, allows for the polychaete worm that is a critical part of the life history for these parasites to live in, to thrive in the Klamath system. And that's exactly what was happening in 2014 and 2015. And just, I'd mention, just anecdotally, talking to folks that have been out in the river this year and have observed these patches of polychaetes in the river in past years, they've noticed a remarkable difference this year, that the high flows, that even though it was fairly short-lived, the high flow event that we did have this March has helped to move those polychaetes around and minimize their occurrence in the Klamath. You know, it is worth noting, too, that we, in addition to the poor river conditions and the high disease rates that the 2014 and 2015 broods experienced, we also had really poor ocean conditions. And that's really alarming, because when you stack up poor in-river conditions on top of poor ocean conditions, that is when you can start to see species go extinct. And as Amy mentioned, things are not going well for some of the fish populations in the Klamath, in particular the coho salmon, and we're really concerned that something like this could cause them to blink out, spring chinook as well in some of our basins.
And we are zeroing in on fall chinook. Does this parasite affect all species of salmonid or other aquatic species of concern?
The Cirrhata nova shasta, there are strains that affect fall chinook, and there are strains that affect coho salmon as well, and they both exist in the Klamath River.
All right. Amy, going back to the more political dimension of this and how we're working to address river conditions that way, in June, the Yurok and the Karuk tribes filed a notice of intent to sue the U.S. Department of Interior and NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, for violating the Endangered Species Act in the way that the Klamath River is being managed. Is that suit moving forward?
Yeah, so basically the taking of the 80 to 90% of juvenile coho and chinook amounts to a violation of the incidental take permit under the Endangered Species Act. And so in 2014 and 2015, you had clear violations of the Endangered Species Act on the Klamath River. So the tribe, along with, as you mentioned, Karuk and some other entities, issued a notice of intent to sue over that. And in the meantime, what we've tried to do is maintain the tribe's policy of trying to resolve these types of issues through collaboration. And so we've engaged in a collaborative process of a federal and tribal partnership of evaluating the disease issues and looking at what we can do to try to flush those disease issues out. And we're hoping that that will result in better river conditions that allow our fish to thrive.
So you've established the partnership, and has the partnership met, or is there a
They've met, and they've made significant progress.
And, you know, speaking of collaboration, this decision, it comes after what seemed to me like a very hopeful moment for the Klamath in April, when a whole bunch of stakeholders, government agencies, tribal entities, agricultural water users, and environmental leaders all signed off on an agreement, a very long-coming agreement, to decommission four dams on the Klamath. That agreement still needs approval from the Federal Energy and Regulatory Commission, or FERC. Amy, could you give us an update on how that's going?
Yeah, and it's all very exciting. So the goal is to have dam decommissioning at least begin by 2020. And so far, a corporation has been set up to help facilitate that process, and they are working on the FERC filings that would authorize that decommissioning. So they are making good progress, and we are very excited about that and doing all we can to help that process.
Dave, do you think that decommissioning and removing these dams would be a kind of magic bullet for the conditions that are creating the die-offs you're seeing now?
Oh, yeah. In addition to reintroducing fish to over 300 miles of historic habitat, addressing water quality problems, I think that removing the dams is going to go a long ways toward minimizing the disease issues that we see in the Klamath Basin. Yep.
Well, and Amy, we started out talking about the Salmon Festival this weekend. Let's end on that note. It's still happening. There won't be a free salmon lunch, as there historically has been, but what is planned for Saturday, August 20th, down in Klamath?
Yeah, we have all kind of great events planned. At 7:30, there'll be a veterans breakfast. We've got softball games starting at 8:30. We have a 3K salmon run, Napuwi run, at 9:30. At 10, there's a parade. 11, we've got a great kids area opening. Also at 11, the Indian card games begin and stick games begin. We've got music starting at 1 p.m., Taxi, which is a great rock and roll band. We're really excited to have them. 2:30, the classic car show starts. Cribbage tournament also. And throughout the whole thing, we'll have over 100 vendors. And there will be other people who are providing food, so there will be food, but it won't be salmon, unfortunately. So we encourage everyone to come down. It's a free festival. It's really an exciting time for us because traditionally we've always had a first salmon ceremony that celebrates the return of salmon to Yurok country. And so this Salmon Festival is really the modern interpretation of that festival and that ceremony. And so we're really glad that we can welcome others who love the river and want to know more about Yurok culture to come and to be with us.
And again, this is a free and public event happening in Klamath, California, right upstream from where the Klamath River meets the Pacific Ocean. Our guest has been Amy Cordalis, senior attorney for the Yurok Tribe. Amy, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Wow.
We also are speaking with Dave Hillemeyer, a fisheries biologist with the tribe. Dave, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you. My pleasure.